Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Marnie Frederick, and I welcome you to another edition in our series featuring amazing, wonderful, supernatural women. Women who are busy about God's business and have learned to spell the word busy, best unique strategies for you. Each of these gals come on the air for 3 to 5 minutes to share her own best practices in one or more categories of life. So get ready to be motivated and equipped with best unique strategies for you from today's fun, informative, and fascinating women. Okay, let's get going.
Hi, everybody. This is Marnie, and welcome to another edition of Amazing Women. I'm excited to interview some really fantastic gals today who are going to share 3 of their own personal life strategies with you to help you get more done with less stress and enjoy life more while accomplishing all of those things for which God created you to do. And as you think about what did God create me to do, you are unique. There is nobody just like you. Everybody is unique. God has created you with a specific set of tasks in mind, of work that he has prepared you to do, and there's nobody else whose agenda is going to look just like yours because there's nobody else just like you. So our program today is full of gals who are going to share their life strategies with us in a few minutes, but right now we are missing our first first guest is the missing in action. So what we are going to do is we're going to find out here, I have another guest on the line. I'm going to see if Deborah Lovett from Dayton, Ohio. Deborah, are you here?
I am, Marnie. Hi.
Hi. Well, I am going to spend a few seconds talking to you, and we'll see if we get our other guests on the line here in just a few minutes. But we'll also do yours at the end of the program when it was scheduled in case you have people coming to listen in. But you can chat with
me
for a few minutes here while we're waiting for our other guests. Deborah, you live in Dayton, Ohio, and what were you doing all day today?
Well, I have been nursing my daughter. She had her wisdom teeth out on Monday. All 4 of them were impacted, and she is still not feeling well.
That's no fun today. Yeah. Now, do you work outside the home?
I do not.
Okay. All right.
Speaking and writing, I mean, you know, I pretty much do all that from home unless I'm traveling.
From home. Sure. Mm-hmm. Sure. We are going to come back later and talk about your 3 life strategies. Just now, I'm wondering if you would be willing to share with us something that's been meaningful in your personal devotions maybe in the past week or 2.
Sure.
I'm really putting you on the spot.
Oh, no, that's fine. I believe that God has a fresh word for us every day. And the word that he has had me camped on in the last couple of weeks is from 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10. And it says, for godly grief produces a repentance that leads to salvation without regret, whereby worldly grief produces death. That's really heavy, I know.
No, I love that verse.
That's where he's had me the last couple weeks, and the promise part is the without regret. And I've really been digging into what a life without regret looks like.
Yeah, yeah, it is such a promise. I love that verse, and it comes in handy all the time. I know a couple of years ago I read a book that was called The Stages of Marriage. That was the name of it, The Stages of Marriage. And after I got done, I was really kind of irritated because it was like I was going to have to be grieving through my whole life. But what he said it's so important to grieve. As you go through the losses that you encounter, on you know, every day, every week, every month, every year, we encounter small losses, and then sometimes we encounter really humongous losses. But as we go through each of those losses, to just step back and to let God comfort us in them. And in that process, then, it frees us to embrace and to really enjoy to the max what God offers us as far as the gifts that we do have. Because when we lose something, we don't lose everything all at once. It might feel like that, but we don't. We usually lose one thing or a couple things, and then as we allow God to comfort us in our grief, then we're able to appreciate and embrace the other things that he has given us.
I agree. It's like an exchange system. And
it is.
When he takes something from us, he just asks that we open our hands and receive whatever it is that he has, which is always better.
Always, yep. It is always better. It is whatever he has is always better. And I think that a lot of times what happens is that the grief hides it. The grief completely camouflages the blessing, because we're dealing with that grief, and what he wants us to do is let him deal with the grief that we're experiencing, him bring the peace and him bring the healing, and then we are able to embrace the gifts that we have.
Yes, I'm going through this in my own life in stages, so of course that's where he has me camped out, is on this grief and, you know, this passage about godly grief and the difference between godly grief and godly guilt and, you know, depression and the differences between those, because a lot of people just throw them all into the same category and they're all truly different. So it's been very interesting for me. Our family lost just about all of our material possessions in 2008 when our home burned to the ground. And so that's why this process of loss and grieving has been so important to me in my own life.
Yeah. And do you find that God is the comfort that you need?
Oh, yes. More than I could ever ask or imagine.
Yeah.
I mean, he has absolutely shown himself to be true and faithful in every aspect of our loss, and has just grown my faith tremendously through the whole process.
Yeah. Yeah. And he will put you in positions where he can use that, use you in the lives of others because of what he's taken you through. So, well, thank you, Deborah. We're going to come back and visit with you after a little while again. And right now we're going to go to a break, and we're going to come back and meet Valerie Van Kooten. We'll be right back.
Are you a leader, an author or speaker, a mom or Sunday school teacher? Leadership Club is my way of providing encouragement, practical help, and solid God focus to as many people as I possibly can. Together we are learning how to be all that Christ created us to be, in and through his power and presence in our lives. I encourage you to join us at marnie.com. Have a great day.
What if I told you could access hour-long expert training segments for under $10 each? Unheard of? What if I told you that at leadershipattitudes.com you can download up to 100 hour-long training programs for just $7.95 a month, canceling at any time, all part of Marnie's mentorship program? Check it out now at leadershipattitudes.com.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back. This is Marnie, and you are joining us for an edition of Amazing Women here on Marnie's Friends at Blog Talk Radio. If you don't know how to follow us, just go to www.marniesfriends.com, and you can always see what's coming there, as well as you can listen in to the last few episodes at that location. Right now, we're going to meet Valerie Van Kooten from Pella, Iowa. She is the mother of three sons, one married and two in college. She is a teacher of technical writing part-time at Central College in Pella, Iowa. She's a freelance writer, editor, and currently writes for about a dozen publications and companies nationwide, including she's a grant writer and a consultant. Welcome to you, Valerie.
Well, thank you, Marnie. I'm glad to be with you.
Well, I'm so excited to have you here, and whenever I think of Pella, Iowa, of course, I think of windows, because I live in Warroad, Minnesota, the home of Marvin Windows, and Pella is, of course,
competition.
A little competition. You and I'll have to arm wrestle or something, but
yes.
But love great companies who provide good quality products and treat their employees right. And I know my husband was very, very impressed when he toured the Pella factory several years ago. But we are here to talk about your three favorite life strategies that you're going to share with our listeners today. And one thing I wanted to mention before we got going here is that you are a big history buff.
I am. I grew up in a family of history buffs, and so I really guess I didn't really have a choice. I was sort of born into it, but I have grown to love it. And my area of expertise in the family is fashion history. I collect vintage clothing. I have about 2,500 pieces, actually, from about the 1840s to the 1990s. So that's sort of my area of expertise.
Well, and one of your tips is to really to preserve as much history as you can.
I definitely think that's true. It's amazing, even, you know, I'm in my late 40s, and even the things that I did, that I wore in the 1970s and 80s, I wish I had kept them. You don't think it down the road anyone's going to want that stuff. But when you see the outfit that you wore in high school on eBay going for a lot of money and a lot of memories, I wish I had kept more things, yeah.
And your second strategy is about how to store these clothes that you're wanting to save, and you have a collection of 2,500 pieces of women's
yes.
clothing dating from 1850s to the 1990s. That's amazing. And you said to me that they don't take as much room as you'd think. So tell us, how would you store 2,500 pieces of clothing?
Well, I have one whole room that's pretty well devoted, and the one thing you want to do if you want to protect clothing, whether it's something you're wearing now that you want to save for the future or if it's something from the past, is never, ever put it on a hanger. That will kill your clothing very quickly, especially if they're fragile pieces of clothing. So I roll everything, and you can get, you know, I have rubber, you know, large plastic Rubbermaid boxes that you can store, you know, 15 to 20 outfits in a box. That's probably not good for long-term storage, but I get things in and out quite frequently. So get them off hangers. That would be the number one thing that I would recommend. And if it's something really fragile from the 20s or 30s, very sheer, I also lay them on a flat piece of cotton, like a big bath towel or a sheet or a pillowcase, and roll them up like a jelly roll. And then that's the best way to preserve them.
Huh. Cool. And then your final one is totally diverse. I just love it. You and your husband are beekeepers, and yet you've developed a severe allergy to the bee stings. So how do you manage that?
Well, that was a huge disappointment. We had a year of really enjoying our two hives of bees. And then I got stung dozens of times, and it really didn't. It was a minor annoyance, but I noticed that each time I got stung, it was getting worse. And finally, ended up in the emergency room a couple times, and realized, oh, this isn't going to go so well. So I kind of take care of the whole paperwork end and making the bee syrup, because you do have to feed bees in the fall and winter with sugar syrup. And I kind of do the house stuff, and my husband does the actual tending of the bees. And if I go out there, I make sure I've got the full bee suit on.
Do you miss it?
I do, terribly. I've got to get over the fear of it. I have the EpiPen I can use on myself if I need to, and I need to learn. My biggest problem was I would run out and just check them with my husband with just the veil on and no other protection, and I can't do that anymore. I need to put on the whole suit, which is kind of a hassle, especially in the summer. It's very hot, but I'm going to have to do it if I want to go out.
You know, I'm going to ask you to conclude here with a strategy that you use to deal with disappointment. When something doesn't work out the way that you hoped, like, for instance, your beekeeping endeavor, how do you deal with disappointment?
Well, I think... And I've watched my children go through this, too. And, you know, I try to remember that as a mature person that we're going to have disappointments. You don't want to act like a two-year-old who's having a tantrum. But I have always seen that any time that, you know, and this is an old saying, but any time that God shuts a door, something else opens up in my life. And so I've learned that when something doesn't work out the way I wanted it to, that something else is better is coming along. I just need to keep my eyes open for it. And that's always proven to be true. And so that promise is sure for me.
Hope is such an incredible gift, isn't it? The gift of hope. Hope that
it is.
Hope that something might be coming along, even though you can't see it right now.
That's right. And I often think back to Paul's words, you know, about seeing through a glass darkly. You know, I can't see the whole picture right now. And as I look back, hindsight's always 20/20, but I need to go into the future with knowing that that God has a 2020 vision ahead. I don't. And that has made things easier and has made me more open to adventures in my life, whereas otherwise I probably wouldn't have been looking for them.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, this is Marnie Swedberg. I've been visiting with Valerie Von Kooten, and she's from Pella, Iowa. So grateful that you could be here with us today, Valerie.
Thank you for having me.
And you're a speaker over at womenspeakers.com too, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Absolutely. So if you need a speaker who can speak to historical things, beekeeping, all kinds of topics, go find Valerie Van Kooten over at womenspeakers.com. Okay, thanks, Valerie. You have a great day.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Are you registered to receive the Marnie Minute? Have you sometimes missed out on training or connection opportunities because you didn't know about them in advance? Visit Marnie.com and select Free Updates to receive email notifications so you will never miss a beat. That's Free Updates over at Marnie.com. Introducing themillionmileclub.com. Do you travel a lot? Would it make a difference to you if some million milers shared their travel secrets? I thought so. So we started the Million Mile Club for you, for missionaries, for people who travel a lot and could use some insider tips. It's free, it's fun, and it's way helpful. Themillionmileclub.com.
Hi, welcome back. This is Marnie Swedberg, and we're having an amazing women interview segment today. We are going to jump now and interview Michelle Towers. Michelle, are you here?
Yes, I am. Hi, Marnie.
Hi, welcome to you. Michelle, is there a way for you to have less echo on your line?
Is that better?
Yes, that is better. Wonderful.
Okay, sorry about that.
Okay, not a problem.
Thank you.
Yes, it's nice to meet you, too. Well, this is Marnie Swedberg, and I'm visiting with Michelle Towers of Aurora, Colorado, and her website is risingtoroyalty.com. She's married. She has a couple sons, one who's married and one who's 16-year-old, Jeremiah. She has a Bachelor's of Science in Mechanical Engineering, is a graduate of Coach University. She's an inspirational speaker, the author of two books, one called Rising to Royalty. The other is The Art of Gracefully Standing Up for Yourself, and she's a writer and contributor to some magazines. She also facilitates several Christians ladies retreats. She's a corporate trainer. She's a deacon in her church, director of small group. Anyway, she's a busy gal.
she is a little bit.
To share with us her three favorite life strategies. Thank you so much for joining us today, Michelle.
Thank you so much, Marnie. It's so exciting to be here. I'm just so happy to have this time to talk with you.
You know, I was pretty amazed when I read the first sentence of your bio, which is, it starts like this, as a three-time breast cancer survivor. Wow.
Yes.
The first sentence. That says a lot. That says a lot about just tenacity and faith right there to come through that. So let's go ahead and with that in the backdrop, let's go ahead and talk about your first strategy, nurturing your true identity. I love this one. This is one of my pet topics to talk about.
Yes. Well, as going through the breast cancer really did teach me so many things about myself and about who I am. And what I have found is that personally, you find real satisfaction in life when you understand who you truly are as God sees you. And I already, as growing up as a child, I already had very low self-esteem. As I'm sure many women who are listening, they have the same issues. But as I went through breast cancer, that just kind of compounded because I had a double mastectomy. I had, you know, at one point no hair. And I just didn't see myself as beautiful or who God called me to be. But what I realized is that God was taking me through a process throughout my whole life. So the first time I had breast cancer, I was 25 years old. So all of this started a long time ago. And what I realized is that God was walking me through a process so that I could see myself as He sees me. And what I came to understand is that God is the King of Kings, and I am His daughter. that means I'm royalty. I'm an engineer, so I put two and two together, and I realized, my goodness, I really am special. So that is really my heart's passion, is to share with women that regardless of what they've been through, hurts, hardships, disappointments, abandonment, anything, we are who God says we are, and that means we're royalty. And then when
and
we come to understand
is.
That, yes, that's what my book is about, and when we come to understand that, that's when we really do walk in joy and peace and fulfillment.
Yeah. I think that one of the things that is so crippling to all of us is when we think we should be like somebody else, and it is just so important that we embrace who we are instead of wishing we were somebody else, that God created us just the way we are, is taking us through just the experiences we're going through, because that's His will for us.
Absolutely, and that's one challenge that we as women especially have. We become so programmed because of magazines and television, our employers, even our families sometimes, they put expectations on us to be a certain way, and it's so hard to live up to those things. And when we can realize that all of us are a little bit different, God made every one of us differently, and we can appreciate what He's given us, then we see ourselves as beautiful as He does.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. Well, your second point is to nurture your purpose.
Yes. This is also very important to me, and I believe it does stem from the history with breast cancer that I have. I came to realize it was the third time, which was now almost 9 years ago. I'm almost 50. But I came to realize after battling and winning this three times that I am here for a reason. If I wasn't supposed to be here, my goodness, I wouldn't be here by now. So yeah. I really became focused on understanding why God put me here on this earth. And I love sharing with people that they have a purpose. There is no accident. You know, you hear someone say sometimes, oh, I was an accident. That is not the truth. God does not make accidents. He makes all of us with purpose and destiny. And when we can start to tap in and nurture that destiny that God has put in us, we have so much satisfaction and fulfillment in our lives. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And you had some statistics here that I want you to share. Go ahead and share these statistics about purpose.
Yes, there was a recent survey done that showed that 64 of the people who responded to the survey, they had no idea or what their purpose was, what their purpose in life was. And that's a huge amount when you think about it. 64% of the people on this planet don't know why they're here. It was amazing to me. And they also asked, you know, do you believe that other people can know their purpose? And it was around 40% said that, no, we can't even understand that. And I think that's so sad, because that's just not true. We all have a treasure inside of us, and God has put it there. And that's part of what life is all about, is digging in there and discovering what that wonderful thing is that God's put in us to do.
One of the trainings that I have over at Marnie.com in the membership zone is the mission and vision training. And if you're listening and you haven't ever done that, if you're one of those 64% who say, I have no idea why I'm here, I really think I'm a mistake. If you believe that, or if that's just kind of subconsciously how you've been, you know, tripping through life, then go take that training, because it's really not very complex. Within an hour or 2 hours, you can really have your arms around why you're here and what you're supposed to be doing. And that just blows people's mind when they realize, I've never figured this out, but it's right there for me. And if you don't want to do that, you can get Lori Beth Jones' book, The Path. That's another wonderful way that you can just at home, by yourself with God, just go through this training and figure out, you know, when He created you, what did He want you to do? So, okay. Yeah. Okay, and your third tip is to nurture relationships. And, of course, we all know about this, but tell us about this from your perspective.
Well, the way I see it is that we can have all the quote-unquote success in the world. We can be very successful in our jobs. We can have all the money in the world. We can be the most beautiful person on the planet. But if we don't have people who love us and people that we can love in return, it really doesn't matter very much. Nothing else matters. And the relationships tie into absolutely every aspect of our lives, from our jobs to our family to our friends. And ever since I did coming through the breast cancer, one thing that I've realized is that I tend to look at my life backwards. Mm-hmm. And I think about my funeral, and I think, what mm-hmm. do I want my funeral to look like? And I will call my life successful if I have a funeral with so many people in the room that they can't even get them all in there, to be able to say that Michelle was a wonderful friend, she was a wonderful mother, a wonderful person. That's the importance of relationships, because our relationships are what sustain us, and they are what last even when we're not here anymore. So that's how important relationships are to me.
Yeah, and I do the same kind of end game first in a couple ways. I a lot of nights when I lay down and go to bed, I cross my arms, cross my chest, and I kind of look up in the dark, and I just say, Daddy, how is it with me today? Because I know someday I'm going to be laying in a casket just in that position, and I'll be in heaven, and I'll be seeing him face to face, and I just want to practice. I just want to practice every single day. Make sure that when I get there, he says the same thing that he says to me a lot of nights. Even if I haven't done it perfectly, there's a lot of nights he lets me go to sleep. And on the days that he's like, okay, today we're going to deal with this issue, you know, that's the most important thing that I have to do, is be okay with God. Because once I'm okay with God, once I know that him and I have an open relationship, an open communication stream, that I'm not standing in the way of that relationship because I'm doing things intentionally wrong, or even that I don't know that I'm doing wrong, once that's all okay, then I can sleep so peacefully. And I just encourage you to do that too. The other way I think about the end game too is what's going to be on the epitaph. What is it going to be about my life that people really remember? Because if they just remember that, you know, I had a store, or, you know, whatever, that's nothing. But if they remember that Jesus Christ was central, and no matter when they talked to me, I always kept bringing him up. You know, what is it that we want to be remembered for? And that's such a great way to think about it. Well, Michelle, I really appreciate that you've been here with us today. If you guys are looking for more from Michelle, you can visit her website, risingtoroyalty.com, or you can find her over at womenspeakers.com, because she also is a speaker available to do retreats and conferences and different things like that. Thanks, Michelle. You have a great day.
Thank you so much, Marnie. You have a wonderful day as well.
Okay, and we're going to come right back and visit with our next amazing woman in just a moment. Are you registered to receive the Marnie Minute? Have you sometimes missed out on training or connection opportunities because you didn't know about them in advance? Visit Marnie.com and select free updates to receive email notifications so you will never miss a beat. That's free updates over at Marnie.com. Well, hi, and welcome back to another edition of Amazing Women here at Marnie's Friends on Blog Talk Radio. We are introducing you to some of my favorite women from womenspeakers.com today, some gals who juggle a lot of balls and who also are available to speak at your upcoming engagements. And we are going to play a little game here, and I'm going to unmute a caller whose caller ID is blocking me from seeing where they're calling from. But I need to know, hi, I'd like you to, if you're listening to this right now and you think I might have just unmuted you, if you're one of our amazing women, can you say hi to me?
Marnie, this is Vicki.
This is Vicki. Well, good. That's what we're guessing. We're guessing that this is Vicki, but your number is showing up on our panel, 1111111111. It's like,
well,
okay, this is a little bit of a crapshoot here. But well, that's
me.
Great.
Yes.
Okay, well, this is wonderful. Well, this is Marnie Swedberg, and our next guest is Vicki Mullins. She's hailing from Scottsdale, Arizona. Her website is iwantyoutoknowme.com, iwantyoutoknowme.com. And she is the owner and publisher and the marketer of her own book series of 8 books on family legacies through Azure Eyes Publishing. She's a volunteer with the American Diabetes Association. She works in her home. She works with the Women's Ministry Board, Bible studies, volunteers wherever possible. She's on a board of trustees. She has 2 adult children and is married. And like I said, is hailing from Scottsdale, Arizona. Vicki, so grateful to have you with us today.
Oh, thank you, Marty. It truly is my pleasure to be joining this. I've been listening, and these wonderful, wonderful women, you know, it's like I want to invite all of them and sit around my dining room table several nights a week. Can you just imagine the power that we could have coming out of the walls? I think the windows would keep breaking. It's just so exciting to hear their great faith walk and the personal endeavors that they're also involved in. They're just amazing.
They are amazing women. And one of the favorite things for me to do is to think about heaven, because in heaven we are going to all be able to connect with one another, to enjoy each other's fellowship forever and ever and ever and ever, and that is going to be so much fun. When we're talking now with you, Vicki, you have some key life strategies that you were prepared to share with us. And for some reason, we have a little glitch going on here right now. Our panel just dropped, Vicki. So hopefully she's going to be back on in just a moment. And, okay, she's really gone. Let's see. I'm going to... Okay, we can. We're going to see if she's possibly calling in. Caller from area code. It's not working. Caller from area code 412. Are you there?
Yes.
Okay, and who's this?
This is Melissa Marnie.
Hi, Melissa. Okay, we just somehow the system just lost our chat with Vicki. So,
okay.
Melissa, we are going to jump to you because we can do that. Not against the law. So we're going to just go ahead and move forward and do your interview here right now. I'm going to introduce you, and then we'll get going. Okay, this is Marnie Sledberg, and we are doing an interview with one of our amazing women today, Melissa Pierce. She is from the website HopeEndures.org. HopeEndures.org. She's married. She doesn't have any kids, but she works with women's ministry as a leader and teacher. She is working toward her pastoral degree and ordination, and she's the founder and president of Enduring Hope Ministries, a ministry focused on empowering and equipping women with the Word of God. And she has lots of roles within that. She's founder and president, teacher, speaker, author. She has written a Bible study called Enduring Hope, Finding Freedom in Christ. And the focus of that study is how to address self-worth in women who are in Christ or coming to know Christ. She volunteers at Cornerstone Ministry and other places. And she also is a ministry partner with her husband with their IT consulting business. So we're excited to have you on today. And you have come prepared to share with us three life strategies. So let's just go ahead and dive right into those. Want to go ahead with your first one?
Well, my first one is I'm really very, very, very passionate about having a relationship with Jesus. In fact, I had really dedicated my life to Christ at the age of 6, and my mom and dad would always tell me that they knew something was very special about me, and I would always want to teach my baby dolls and my stuffed animals about Jesus. I mean, if anyone who had given me an ear, I was, you know, teaching them about Jesus, anything that I knew. And so God has just ingrained that in me. I just have such a passion for him because I know what he can do for life. So.
Yeah. Hmm. That's awesome. One of the things that jumped out to me when you were saying that is how unique we all are, how unique you are, and that right from the time you were tiny, you knew you were supposed to be a teacher. And somehow you have been able to embrace that. And just your mom's response for all of us who are moms, that just learn from that too. They just allowed you to embrace it, and they even developed it and encouraged it in you, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. They really did. And from that, I have really carried that on just to encourage other women. In fact, when the Lord had given me the vision for the ministry, I really want to empower the women. I want to not only empower, but I want to encourage them. And today there are so many women that are hurting, and I really believe that the Lord wants to bring healing, I mean true healing, emotional, mental, and physical healing to each of them. And that's the reason why he came. He wants wholeness within each of us.
That's right. That's right. And your second point is about that. You say that we are all like the Samaritan woman in the Bible. Tell us about that.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think about it today. Our culture today is so much like the culture back in the day of Jesus, where women struggled with their identity. And I think they also struggled with unaddressed wounds of their heart and as well as their pasts. And God is looking to bring the realization that he loves them, that they are accepted, and that he created them for purpose. And so I really believe that the Lord is wanting to restore the identity of women and have their self-worth truly founded in him. Because today it's not like that. You know, the culture demands that you have to have a certain profession or you need to have a certain family status or economic status to, quote, unquote, to be something or have a value. And that's not what the Lord says at all.
We are valuable because of whose we are, not because of what we do.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
What we have.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And we know that this is true because when we have a child who has learning disabilities or physical handicaps or whatever, we don't judge that child based on what they don't have.
That's
we
right.
We love them for who they are, you know?
Right.
But yet when it's related to us, then we're much harsher with the judgment, aren't we?
Yeah.
We want to be perfect.
Well, that's true, Marty. And, you know, the other thing is I think women today equate God's love is the same as man's love, but man's love is so conditional, and God's love is so unconditional. And women have a hard time really grasping that because he is the God of unconditional love.
Yeah, absolutely. Your third point is that there's always hope no matter what situation because God is our enduring hope. Talk to us about the Bible study you wrote, Enduring Hope. What do you train in there?
You know, that's truly part of that study is a testimony of my own life, battles that I had to struggle with when I was a little girl to even to my current age. I had to overcome issues with MS. I was diagnosed with MS. And then when I got married, my husband and I had to face issues of infertility. And all of that played into who is Melissa. And the Lord really just took me through a season where he showed me that my value, like I stated earlier, wasn't in what I had obtained, but who I was and really in him. And through all those circumstances, I have really learned that he is my enduring hope, that you can gravitate to him. And know that he is steadfast, that he is faithful. And it's true, it states in Scripture that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. And, you know, women put their hope, or we can put our hope in so many other things, but those things fall aside. But God is so faithful to us. And he is that stronghold of strength and encouragement that we so desperately need. And that's what the study really reveals. It's just a process, a season, how he brought me through and how he's bringing other women through to realize their identity rests in him and him alone.
Yeah, love it. I often think, and I've heard other people say this too, that one of the largest battles that Satan wages is against our hope. And when he can destroy our hope, then it's very difficult for us to have faith. It's very difficult for us to have joy. But
that's right.
But there is so much hope in Christ. So you guys who are listening, you want to go over to hopeindoors.org, check out Melissa's site over there, her Bible study, and she's also a speaker available to you over at womenspeakers.com. Thank you so much, Melissa, for being here. Thanks for your life.
Oh, thanks, Maureen. I really appreciate it.
Okay, you have a great day.
Thank
and
you.
We'll be right
bye-bye.
Back, and we're going to, okay, bye-bye. We'll be right back, and we're going to go back and try to catch Vicki again. We'll be right back.
Are you a speaker ready for some new connections? Join WomenSpeakers.com, the largest online directory of Christian women speakers in the world, currently enjoying over 25,000 hits a day. WomenSpeakers.com is a place for you to showcase your speaking availability to over 10,000 event planners. WomenSpeakers.com is a first-stop preference for leaders who are planning retreats, conferences, luncheons, brunches, and teas. Join us today over at WomenSpeakers.com, both free and paid listings available.
Hi, this is Marnie Swedberg. Welcome back to another edition of Amazing Women here on Marnie's Friends. And you can always find us over at www.marniesfriends.com. We're going to visit right now with Michelle Mullen. She hails from Scottsdale, Arizona. And her website is iwantyoutoknowme.com. Welcome, Michelle. Or welcome, Vicki. I said the wrong name then. I was looking at your last name and went to Michelle, but welcome, Vicki.
Thank you. And I have no idea what happened to that telephone. Just absolutely came off. It was just, it went dead. So some days are like that.
Yep, some days are like that. Now, Vicki, you're from Scottsdale, and your website is iwantyoutoknowme.com.
Yes.
And you have great involvement. One of the things that you do is you work with Mullins Creative. You've been the owner of that for 20 years. You're an award-winning graphic designer. And you are also the owner and publisher and marketer of your own 8-book series on family legacies through Azure Eyes Publishing. And you're here to share with us 3 of your favorite life tips. So let's go ahead and get right started.
Okay. First one is, despite all of the stuff and success and exciting businesses that I've had over my life, I say the best time of my life was when I had holes in the knees of my jeans from playing on the floor with my kids. And that, Marnie, was when holes meant very old jeans. They weren't designer or expensive. But money is not the mark of my life's success.
Mm-hmm.
I think we so get wrapped up in competing with other people and what we have and what we think we need. But when it all comes down to it, we need very little of what we actually have. What we need, and I mean what we have physically, the things that are in our lives, the stuff that we can buy. Because if we had nothing but hopefully a shirt on our back and we had God in our lives, we would still be so, so much more rich than the kings and queens in major palaces that don't have him. So money does not, I do not put my life, my worth on money. And that has made such a difference in my life.
That's just huge. And thanks for mentioning that, because I think a lot of times we just don't even think about how much we put our thinking on money and what we have and what we need to get and all that kind of stuff. But it's always there. Money, I always say money can be one of the biggest stressors in life, because it's unrelenting when you have bills that are coming due or whatever. It can be very stressful, but it is not the center of life. Jesus Christ is the center of life. So thanks for reminding us about that. Okay, let's go right ahead. Your number 2 point is to be authentic.
Yes. And I think that also goes as you get old. You know, it's pretty when you can start pretty young and you see what everybody else can do. You know, oh, I've always wanted to be able to sing. Or, oh, I've always wanted to be able to dance. So I better go take classes to learn how to do that. But the problem is I have 2 left feet and my voice would just make any choir director just cringe. So my point is that if we take the gifts that God has given us and share those, build on those gifts, and let those that have the other gifts be strong in those, then the more we're authentic to ourselves, the better off we can be to other people. We use our time better if we're using the gifts we've been given better, because we're not working against ourselves and we're not working against the gifts that God has given us. So I try to work to be the best of me, the best, because nobody else is me and I am nobody else. So I need to just be working on myself and sharing those gifts and enjoying the gifts that other people have that I don't have that I can bring into my life.
Yeah, absolutely. It goes kind of back to understanding why you're here, too, instead of just kind of stumbling through life to really figure out, why did God make me? Why did he make me the way he made me? What did he want me to do? What am I supposed to be doing? How old do you think you were when you really got a grip on why you were here?
My grip, I'm going to say, is a sub-grip. You know, I always knew that I was a child of God. You know, so I knew my purpose kind of was to be here to honor and glorify him. But it wasn't until 6 years ago when my friend passed away and we were trying to make her life worth something as she saw it. And what she wanted more than anything is to be able to connect with her children when her life was over and they would no longer remember their mommy. And through all of that, I had come up with some ideas, and it was a day sitting in my office, and the best way can I describe it to people was the day that God talked to me, and he said, here's what I want you to do. I gave you this gift. I gave you this gift. I've guided you through your life. I made you go over here and learn this. I made you go over here and learn this. And it's like he had his hand on my head, protecting me and guiding me through all the lessons that I needed to learn to be able to do what he said, do it, Vicki. And so that really and truly, so what was I? I was 51 when I knew what I knew what I knew. But it took me a long time because I think he was just preparing me for that, and I could not have learned the lessons or known the things that I had to have when I was 21. But in the meantime, he was there walking with me and guiding me until I was ready to do what he had planned. And I know sometimes women and young men find out much, much earlier in their lives when they're called and they know what their purpose is in life. And I envy them on some sorts, because when you know, I mean, you're just so full of all of him, and it's fabulous.
That's fantastic. Well, thank you so much, Vicki, for joining us today. You can learn more about Vicki over at iwantyoutoknowme.com. iwantyoutoknowme.com or over at womenspeakers.com. So grateful that you could join us today, Vicki.
Thank you, Marnie. It was truly my pleasure.
Okay, you have a great rest of the day. We're going to come right back and meet another amazing woman in just a moment.
Bye-bye.
It has been my great joy to interview experts on all sorts of topics. The segments with branding gurus Linda Lopeck and Karen Saunders provided over $1,000 worth of training. The segment with literary agent David Sanford, again, worth over $500 by itself. The email management training with Marcia Egan was a huge hit. If you're already a member, then you're all set. But if not, check it out at leadershipattitudes.com. Leadershipattitudes.com. Are you registered to receive the Marnie Minute? Have you sometimes missed out on training or connection opportunities because you didn't know about them in advance? Visit Marnie.com and select free updates to receive email notifications so you will never miss a beat. That's free updates over at Marnie.com.
Hi, this is Marnie. Welcome back to another edition of Amazing Women at Marnie'sFriends.com. We are going to go ahead and jump down to Jacksonville, Florida, and interview Melanie Love right now. Her website is journeywords.net, and she is joining us to share three of her favorite life strategies. She's married, has a couple adult kids, In her church, she participates in the women's ministry, inspirational speaking for her gals and also other groups. She's available to you as a speaker, music ministry, leading Bible studies for women, composing and producing bulletins and other printed materials and dramatic productions as time allow. She also has attended college, and she would. She says she considers her life experience almost as more important than her educational experience. She's devoted to a wonderful, handsome man who's her biggest fan. His name is Kelly, and her two grown sons. One is married and has three stepchildren. Or she, yep. And then they also live. The other two live. Oh, I'm getting that all mixed up. The other one lives at home right now. So I'm going to welcome you to the line here. Welcome, Melanie.
Hi, Marnie. Thanks for having me on. What a great opportunity.
Oh, I'm so glad that you could join us. And as we just launch into your three favorite strategies, I wonder, when you think about your life, what has been one of the most significant experiences that you've ever had? What do you think was one of the really big life-changing, life-shaping experiences for you?
Well, my entire life, I have always been a storyteller, not just making up stories, but just telling my own stories. That even the ordinary things in life, I think, have such great lessons for us and for the people that we share with. And so I spent much of my life writing for my employers, writing for the enjoyment of my friends, and most recently had worked for the Salvation Army for a few years as a public relations director. So I was working for a Christian organization, loved it, and was pouring my heart out into my writing to promote the mission of the Salvation Army. When I had been there for about 7 years, I really got this strong sense that God was finished with me there. I did not hate my job. I loved my job, and so it took me quite by surprise. So I just sat back and let God take the steering wheel because I wasn't really sure what he was doing. And the more I waited, the more he revealed to me that he was ready for me to step out and talk to ladies directly and to take my writing to the next level and do it all for his kingdom and not for a salary. And I got very nervous about it. I waited for a few months, and finally I turned in my notice. After I found a part-time job with a huge cut in pay, I just had a perfect peace about it. And on my last day of work at the Salvation Army, I was driving in through downtown, and I was listening to Bible on CD, which I have done a lot. And you know how sometimes you'll be driving along or you'll be listening at your desk, and you know it's there, but you're doing what you're doing, and the scripture's just in the background. I remember the intersection I was coming up on. The Bible CD was kind of in the background. I was looking around at the traffic, and clear as a bell, the scripture grabbed my attention as I was fussing with God, and I was thinking, God, I'm not ready for this. This is my last day. I'm afraid. What am I going to say to people? Because I have no idea how to talk to people. And immediately, Exodus 4:12 came into my mind. He may as well have been speaking it to me verbally. And it basically says, I have my Bible right here, and I meant to have it on the page. Exodus 4:12 says, certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be, excuse me, that was three, I apologize. Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. I even have the scripture written down in my Bible. That was the day that I was 100% sure that I was to go forward in life as a mouthpiece for God, encouraging women and showing them that he's working in the background of their lives as well. It was just very profound because he may as well have been sitting physically in the seat next to me. It was that clear to me.
That is so cool. And I'm not really sure why I asked you that. I think there must be someone who's listening today or who will listen to this who needs to hear that, because we really invited you here to share three strategies, and our time is going so fast, so I want to get right to that. But thank you for just telling us that, and I'm sure that is going to be an encouragement to someone who's facing a decision similar or just a tough time where they have to trust God. It's
sure.
So tough to follow him sometimes, and thank you for sharing that. Well,
sure.
I want you to just start right off and just very briefly explain your first tip, which is that you look for something memorable about everyone you meet.
Right. I try to make every person someone who I can recall later based on their smile or their personality, but especially I try to learn someone's name right off the bat. I have found that there is power both for me and for the other person in my knowing their name. I think that when there's anonymity in a relationship, just casual relationships, for example, that people feel kind of invisible. And I find that when you call someone by name, it breaks down walls and it changes the dynamic of who you're dealing with. And what I think is really neat is so many of the people who probably feel anonymous on a daily basis because of their vocation, for example, table servers and cashiers, that kind of thing, the ones that people deal with on a casual kind of a fleeting basis, God's already given us a tool to learn their name and to call their name, and that's their name badge. And so I try to make a point of calling people by their name at every opportunity because I think it just changes our attitude towards one another and opens doors so that we can move forward just in a better spirit together.
That's awesome. And then just in like 30 seconds or so, tell us, you discover what people are good at and you say you exploit it in a good way. Tell us about that.
That's right. Well, to me, God is the master delegator, and so I want to learn from him. Some of the world's greatest leaders have surrounded themselves with people who know their stuff. And so I watch for what people are good at. And although I'm not the most organized person in the world, many are. And I like to find out what a person is good at and bring them in and share ideas and then move forward together. Women need to understand what their spiritual gifts are so that they can fit into the family of God and we can accomplish so much together as a body that way.
Absolutely. And then your last strategy is to guard against the competitive spirit.
Right. I find that the competitive spirit is really encroaching on women in the church today because what we're able to do is so much broader than in the old days. And when I feel competitive spirit sneaking in, two things happen. First of all, it morphs into criticism, and that drains me of the energy and the focus that my own calling is requiring. And it also just creates a spirit of jealousy, which creates murmuring and which causes us to sit back and kind of take a bath in it instead of moving forward. So whenever I feel a spirit of competitiveness rearing its ugly head, I try to turn that around 180 degrees and find out what that person is good at that I feel a little competitive with and just sit back and enjoy that blessing. That's why God put that person in my path.
That's great. Well, you guys can learn more about Melanie over at her website, journeywords.net, or over at womenspeakers.com. Her name is Melanie Love. Thanks for joining us today, Melanie.
Thanks, Marnie.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, we have time for one more amazing woman here this afternoon. We're going to go all the way over to Dayton, Ohio, and visit with Deborah Lovett. Welcome, Deborah.
Hi.
Hi, so glad that you could join us. You are married. You have a couple of children. You have a 19-year-old and a 17-year-old. You teach a co-ed Bible study for adults, and you also work in your home and do a lot of other things. You're here to share with us today three of your favorite life strategies. So why don't you just go ahead and launch right in there.
Okay. My first one is facing it until you make it. And I believe that our faith is one of the most important life strategies that we can have because the enemy really wants to steal our faith. And the Word says faith comes from hearing and hearing from the Word of God. So my second strategy, obviously, is from the Word of God. I think that we need to just continue to read it, let it soak into our minds, memorize it. And the reason it's so important to me is, as I mentioned in the beginning with our in the beginning of the interview, our home burned to the ground in 2008, and we lost everything except for, of course, our faith. The other thing, though, we found in the ashes several days later was the Word of God. And that was amazing because everything was in ashes, and the only thing that survived was my Bible. And so when I speak, I take the Word with me, I take that Bible with me, and I show it. And it's amazing because it's readable. Every single page can be turned. even though they put water on my home that was burning for 12 hours solid, the pages do not stick together. And so I think that we underestimate the power of the living God and his words to us. He took my home, but he left his calling card.
That had to be such an encouragement to you. And you really had already, even before your home burned to the ground, you had already gone through a tremendously traumatic situation earlier in 2003.
Yes, that was when my sister took her own life, and we were very close. She was 40 years old and had three young children and had just been emotionally abused in a bad marriage for 16 years and turned to alcohol as a Band-Aid and ended up taking her own life. And so I just have a real heart for people that are losing their hope these days. Suicide is on the uprising because people are losing their jobs, their homes, their finances. And, you know, if I could say one thing, it would be that suicide is a permanent solution to a temporary problem. All of our problems that we have today that we face, Marnie, are truly temporary. And if we could just have the eyes to see, and that goes back to that faith, faith to see without being able to see it in the material, we have to be able to believe it in the spiritual. And that's what faith is. And we have to hold on to that because the enemy truly wants to steal it from us. He has a plan for our lives just like God does, and he wants to steal, lie, and destroy us. But God has a plan that is so much bigger and better if we'll hang on to that faith in Jesus Christ. And he says, anyone that will come to me and believe in me will be saved. And to me, there is no better life strategy than to believe in the Lord, to read his word, to have that faith in that word, to walk it out, to really walk it out and believe it. And so I always say that the word is the closed caption for the hearing impaired, because so many people when I'm traveling say, well, I really can't hear the Lord. And I'm like, this is it. Just open the word.
Crack the book.
That is truly his love letter to us. And he speaks to us through that. And so I just would like to encourage women because, you know, I asked the Lord, what is the living water? And the enemy burned my house down, but God left the living water. He answered my prayer.
That's so cool. Your final point, and we just have about a minute left here, but your final point is that disappointment really does bring reappointment. Talk to us about that.
Well, at the beginning of my ministry, I talked about the water, and I believe there are seasons in our lives. And so now, after my home is burned to the ground, now when I speak about the fire of God and how important it is to have that passion for him that doesn't get put out by worldly things. We have to be set apart, and that's so hard in today's world, to set ourselves apart, to say no to things that everyone else is saying yes to. It's extremely hard. But that disappointment of the fire has brought about a revival in my spirit and a reappointment to teach and to preach in different ways than I was before, because we're in a different season of time now. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. That's what I think, too. I have a keynote that I do on dealing with disappointment when I pinch hit for someone who's had to not show up somewhere because of a huge disappointment in life. And what happens is that when people come in expecting that speaker, that guest, and then what they get is me, someone they weren't expecting, someone they maybe never even heard of, they feel disappointment. But it's a wonderful opportunity to teach the important lesson that you're sharing with us right now, is that life is full of disappointments, but that does not mean that it's devastating. It just means that it's a detour. It's time to go a different direction. We have to go somewhere else to see something else or be somewhere else or do something else that we couldn't have ever done if we stayed on the previous path. and it's a way for God to move us around. And I love to think about that when I'm facing a disappointment, that this is really just, it is a disrespected appointment. The one that I had is not going to happen, and now God's got something else in mind for me here. Deborah, thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, thank you for having me. I so appreciate it, and I really just enjoyed it and enjoyed being with you, so thank you.
Good. And if you want to learn more about Deborah, you can visit her website over at deborahlovett.com, D-E-B-O-R-A-H. Love is spelled love with two T's at the end, deborahlovett.com, or visit her at womenspeakers.com. Thanks so much for being here, Deborah.
Thank you, Marnie. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye. Well, we have gone over time today, and we've had some interesting things happening on our switchboard. There's one more caller here that I am not sure if you were hoping to be a guest or not, but I need to just check. Caller from area code 303, and your phone number ends in the digits 0358. Hi, are you there? Okay.
I was just listening.
You're just listening. Okay, very good. We had missed a couple of our guests today, and I thought, well, maybe someone's calling in from this other number that was the same area code. Okay, well, thank you so much for listening, and you have a great day.
You too. God bless.
Okay, bye-bye. Well, that does conclude our program for today. Thank you so much for being here. And we do these amazing women interview segments once every couple months for sure. And in the meantime, we have programs that are training programs with experts. And so hopefully you'll join us again next week. Thank you very much for your time. Thanks for tolerating a little overrun today. And we'll see you again next week about this time. Have a great day. Have a great week. Bye-bye.